SOS Radio Podcast.
Life issues, artist interviews, and faith.
Downloading now.
We're hanging out with Zach Williams today at SOS Radio. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Man, how's this heat for you? It's Nevada. It's summertime.
Yeah, I'm melting. I went in the bathroom just to make sure I hadn't lost some fingers or something a while ago.
I feel like you got a spray tan just walking outside.
Dude, it does. It's hot. I don't think I've been this hot this summer yet.
How does the heat work with the beard? Does the beard help you feel cool, or does the beard just feel like this is weird when it's like 150,000 degrees outside?
The beard will cool you off. If you get a little sweat in your beard and the wind hits it, it's like a nice little breeze.
Uh-huh.
It feels like you got a nice cool cloth on your face.
See, like, I grew out a beard and it all just turns white. I don't know if it's like it turns white first and then it turns dark and red or what the deal is, but my beard game is not strong like yours, that's for sure.
Just gotta let it go. You just gotta keep growing it.
Because there's that itchy phase, you know. Yeah. You start and you're just like, I can't handle this anymore.
I know. And then you get to the where your beard does grow out, and then you get like beard dandruff, and you gotta, it's upkeep, dude. You gotta wash your face with Head and Shoulders. It's crazy.
Oils. Yeah. So what's your beard oil? Because I'm up in my game.
Yeah, I use a company in Georgia called Dream Beard.
Certain scent, or is it the?
They have one called the Mechanic. That's really good. And then they have one called the Carpenter.
Well, that'll work. Actually, kind of goes along with your motif.
There you go. Yeah.
So if you want to look like Jesus,
yeah. Exactly.
Smell like Jesus.
You can either smell like Jesus or you can smell like
John the Baptist.
There you go.
I'm going to have some locusts and honey and wear my camel skin.
There you go.
We're talking to Zach Williams on SOS Radio today. So you're raised in church. You grew older. You played a whole lot of basketball in high school and kind of fell into the music culture a little bit. Who did God bring into your life just to sort of lead you out of that season of your life where you're like, you know what? I really need some help. I got a rescue story here.
I mean, honestly, a lot of it goes back to the way my parents raised me. They were a huge part of just planting that seed at an early age and really giving me the foundation. I mean, I worked for my dad for years. I had a really good relationship with my family, and you know, they were never one to like to judge me for the things I was doing. They were always there just to support me and tell me I could be anything I wanted to be. But I think when I got into my, you know, mid-20s, late 20s, where I was really doing, you know, my soul searching, I kind of had gotten to a place where I thought, I've messed this up, I'm too far gone, like maybe I've messed up my relationship with my family. I remember having this kind of come to Jesus moment where I was getting ready to go to Europe to play in this band I'd been touring in for years. We were going on a tour. And I remember saying, God, you know, like, I just need you to prove to me that you're real. And a week into that tour, I heard Redeemed by Big Daddy Weave on a radio station in Spain while we were driving across the country on a bus. And had it not been for those lyrics, I don't know that I'd be here where I'm at today.
What was that phone call like for you calling back to your wife and saying,
yeah,
you know what? I just had this crazy Jesus experience. I want to change.
I think she thought I was crazy. Like, she was more of like, you're not quitting your band. Like, that's who you are. Like, you're never going to quit that band. And I was like, no, I heard a song, you know, that when this tour's over, I'm done. We're going to start going to church. And I think I just had to prove it to her. I think she was probably listening to it going, yeah, this is just another thing I've heard him say before. But it was real this time, and we haven't looked back since.
Was she supportive of that when you said, hey, honey, we're going to start going to church, and this is going to be a part of who we are because this is what I need, and I think this is what you need?
Yeah, she was all for it because, you know, she was pregnant with our daughter, who is about to turn 7 now at the time, and we were both in just a place where we knew there were some changes that needed to be made in our marriage in order for us to, you know, stick it out. And that was the first change that we needed to make, was get our lives together, get ourselves right with God, and then get into church that, you know, we could be around people that held us accountable for what we were doing, and just a community of believers. And had it not been for that, I wouldn't be here.
For those who are in a family situation where there's someone who's stuck in an addiction, but they're not ready to face it, and everybody knows this person is using a lot of pills, or they're doing a lot of drugs, or alcohol has control over their life, but they're not to that place yet where they're really seeing it or understanding it personally, but everybody else is seeing it. What do you suggest for those families that want to help, but just feel like, oh, I'm not trying to push them, but we want to get a hold of them?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, because everybody's different. I saw the way my parents just lived out their prayer life. And for me, that was kind of what turned me around. Like, you can preach to somebody and you can drag them to church all you want, but if you're not walking in that and living out those actions yourself, then that person's watching you and seeing the things that you're doing with your life And I think for me, I was able to see the people that were pouring into my life. That's the way they live their life too. It was like, I want that, you know, I want something like that in my life. I want something stable. And for me, after years of parents inviting me to church and dragging me to church, they finally just quit and they quit asking me. And I got to a place where I was like, okay, have I gone too far to the point where they don't even care about me anymore? Like, did I mess this up? And for me, I think just as a man, like you, those are decisions you want to make on your own. I'm stubborn, and when somebody tries to tell me to do something, I want to do the opposite. I think a lot of us are that way. So, yeah, I think sometimes it's just maybe just praying for people, you know, prayer works.
When it came to that conversion and when it came to the prodigal son coming home, like, are there stories, are there Bible verses that you just cling to now?
I've always grown up with my parents. Used to pray for me in Jeremiah 29:11 as a kid, and I never really understood what that meant. You know, I just thought, you know, they're just being nice and praying this prayer. You know, I have plans for you, not to harm you, plans to prosper. And it didn't make sense until, you know, I was 33 years old, and I look back at my life now and see the places that God was working whenever I didn't even know that he was there. See the things that he kept me out of and the trouble that he kept me from and the places that he was protecting me from. I can see those places now, and I can see those moments where God was at in my life, but at the time I didn't know it. And I think it all goes back to those prayers, like moms and dads praying for their kids. It works. Sometimes you don't get it when you want it. God has his own timing, but when it's God's time to do what he's going to do, you kind of better be ready for it.
Kind of see that with your kids now? Like, does it translate?
It does. You know, when we first started going to the church we were at, one thing we first started doing, just praying for like my daughter and my son's like wife or husband, like who that's going to be, what that's going to look like. And just, I think those things are important to like start thinking about, because you speak that life over somebody and God honors that.
Zach Williams has been named Billboard's top Christian male vocalist of the year in 2017. He was named New Artist of the Year for Chainbreaker and Old Church Choir, a couple of the songs we've been playing here on SOS Radio. And Zach, you have a new project. It's called Rescue Story, and that's essentially what it's all about.
Yeah, that's it for me. I think when I write music, everything I've tried to write in the past and everything I've tried to write for this record is from a personal experience or just a season of life that I've walked through. And for me, this may be my most personal song that I've written. It's kind of, I've looked back a lot on my life on this record, and there's a lot of reflection on it, but there's also, I had gotten to a place in my life where I just felt like I was gone, like I was lost. There couldn't be a God out there that loved me. There couldn't be anybody that could save me. And the realization, he never left me. He was always there, walking with me every step of the way, hands stretched out, waiting for me to come home. You know, I feel like we've all got a rescue story. Everybody's got a story like that. Everybody that's ever been at the bottom of the barrel and cried out, you know, save me. That's where it starts. And for me, that's what this song's about.
So what was the barrier for you that was keeping you from finally calling out and just saying, I'm fully ready to surrender this? Like, I know there's some things that I might need to change. I know there's some things that I want different in my heart, but there's a barrier here that I'm just not ready to either let go or I'm not ready to surrender to.
I think the biggest thing for me was just my pride. Like, I thought I could do it on my own. And when I realized I couldn't, when I started looking at everything in my life that I'd almost accomplished, I started thinking, well, maybe I can't do this by myself. And, you know, I didn't think it was for lack of talent or lack of support. It was just, I think a lot of it too, like God knew I would have messed it up had he given me the opportunities and the things that I wanted in my mid-20s. I might not be here today. And for me, it was a big pride thing, you know, when, like I said earlier, you have people kind of telling you what they want you to do or preaching at you. It's like, I'm going to do my own thing. And that was for years of my life. It was just the macho pride that got in the way.
So now, what does Zach Williams do for fun?
I like to cook, man. Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I love to cook.
Cookbook and
I do.
Stuff like that?
I've worked on a cookbook in the past. I'm getting ready to go out on this fall tour, and we're bringing a chef out to cook dinner every night for a VIP ticket. And we're going to be pulling a big kitchen trailer behind the bus. It's going to be fun. I love anything to do with food. That's my thing.
So what is your greatest creation?
Oh, man.
What are you going to bring? What are you going to bring to the table, literally?
I mean, I could eat a steak every day, but I've been making lately this, it's a new recipe that it's a chicken Milanese. So you basically take a chicken breast, butterfly it, pound it out real thin, panko breadcrumb, just a quick fry, and then pop it in the oven. While you've got it in the oven cooking the rest of the way, you take about a half a stick of butter, a a bunch of sage, a bunch of garlic, some shallots, onions, and you make a brown butter sauce. And then you take a handful of like cherry tomatoes and just quickly like saute those. And then you take the chicken out, put it on a bed of arugula, cover it with the tomatoes, and then pour that butter sauce over the top of it.
I should not have asked you that question. I'm really hungry.
Yeah.
And we just ate, man.
I know, man.
But it looks like, I mean, it looks like you've got a retirement career, you know.
Yeah,
like
hopefully.
When songwriting doesn't pay the bills anymore, you know, you step away and start cooking in the kitchen.
I'm That's
sure
the plan.
I'm sure your family loves that.
We love it, yeah. That's one thing that we all do together. You know, I think food is like music. If you can cook a good meal, you can bring people together. If you can write a good song, you can bring people together. So I think that's why I love it so much.
So what does your daughter request when she's like, Daddy, make me dinner?
Oh, gosh. Both of my kids, the two youngest that are in the house right now, they would probably eat steak every night too. Like, they love, I cook a pretty good ribeye and a mushroom and asparagus risotto. So,
well, what do you do for your ribeye that makes it pretty good?
Well, if I told you, I use a rub of like garlic, coarse salt, coarse pepper, and a blackening, like a blackened seasoning, and a pretty heavy like coating on both of them. But I let them sit out for about an hour and a half, like just room temperature, before they go on the grill or before they go. A lot of times I'll do it in a skillet with some garlic cloves and some rosemary and a bunch of butter. But yeah, and then not overcook it. I'm a medium rare guy, so I don't know. I don't know how you guys like your food, but I wouldn't be able to cook anybody a steak over medium rare at my house.
Yeah, I don't need a hockey puck covered in butter and shallots.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
We're hanging out with Zach Williams today at SWS Radio. And Zach, you ready to play a game? This is called Blank Space.
Okay.
We do this Vegas style. I have a whole stack of cards right here, all right? You pick a card, any card. It's a fill-in-the-blank game. Read it, and then you're going to tell me the first three things that come to mind.
First three things.
Yep.
The best advice I ever got was, always remember where you came from. Don't eat yellow snow. And always remember to put the lid down. That's paying off big time now in my house.
Yeah, you're still married.
Trying to teach my little boy that. He's not quite got the hang of it. So.
All right, card number two.
Okay. I had an aha moment when the first time I played in a prison, the first time I heard Redeemed, I would say when I learned how to cook in college, that was for me like an aha moment.
Okay, I want to hear the story about the prison. What was the aha moment?
So my wife, she came home from church one Sunday afternoon and said she was going to go with some women on a prison trip and share a testimony. And I stayed home and watched our kids for the afternoon. I just remember that night when she came home, she was so pumped up, so on fire. She was like, "You, the next time we do this, you've got to go." And she was like, you know, at the time I'd kind of quit playing music. We were just going to church. But I'd been sneaking off every night, going upstairs and trying to write some new music. And I'd kind of written a few songs that were like some of my first attempts at Christian music. And she said, "You're going to go and you're going to take your guitar and you're going to play those songs you've been playing while you're sitting upstairs." And I was kind of like, not really what I want to do. And so...
Not ready yet, honey.
I wasn't ready yet. And so she signed me up to go anyway. Her and one of the pastors at our church signed me up. And I remember going in about a month later, took a few songs that I was writing. We were in this prison, and I shared my testimony, and my wife shared her testimony. And I played this song for an invitation, and there were like 35 women on their hands and knees whenever I opened my eyes. And I looked up, and I was just like, okay. And I felt like God was like, if you needed that aha moment, this is it. Like, this is what I want you to do. These are where I want you to play, the songs I want you to write. And that was kind of what started me off on this journey that I'm on right now. It was like a very clear message of, you need to do this. So,
man, see, if we weren't playing this game, then we never got
there
the
you
next
go.
Story.
Right. There you go.
There's a rescue story in
there
that.
There you go, man.
We're hanging out with Zach Williams today at SWS Radio. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, brother.
You're good to go. Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion, give it a 5-star rating in your app store. The way the technology works, your ratings really help spread the word.